Tov Dalet, Sif Yud Aleph. Ein noisnim mayim, v'la mizonis lifnei devarim, v'la lifnei yernei shoveich, v'yernei aliyah, v'la lifnei chazir. Animals which can get the food or water themselves, the person is not allowed to be matriach to provide for them, because it's not his responsibility for them, and they can get it themselves. I will know something avozim atamigerlam, but if he owns avozim atamigerlam, he's allowed to be matriach to put the food there because they need it. That's his requirement to make sure that they have food. Yerne baisus, or yerne which have now become settled in the house. Animals which the person has responsibility to feed them. Even the animal, the bees belong to him. They can get it out there in the field. Nobody asked you to have a chazir. Okay, it's also to have a chazir. So you can't have a chazir, so what, you can't tell me how you mechuyav to take care of its needs. Get rid of it. Now, v'im nafal abipiroyin chayvay, situation came up that the goy paid him with the chazir, right? You're allowed to hold on to them until you can sell it for value. So make your mezonos son. Well, that's all, then you are mechuyav to take care of its food needs. Mutar litan lehem mezonos. If they kelev, I feel a kelev shein a megadle bebeisoy. Even if it's a kelev which he's not raising in the house, so mutar, you're allowed to feed him. The mitzvah k'saras gam ki anitin lemezonos kama shemachazal shechos kodesh baruch hu olav lefi shemezonos of muatim amash echilos amayav shalisach al gimel yomim ayin lo yirab. They need the klavim have a difficulty getting. So if I have a dog which I raise in the house, it's one thing. A dog which basically I let run around, so let him get food outside. The advice says it wasn't so easy for dogs to get food. So you still have a little bit of responsibility for that. They say kelav ra, osir. You're not allowed to megadol a kelev ra, so how can you feed it? Come on, the chazir doser mishum the oser legadol chazirim a kelev ra. Famous mishabura yesh noigam litan chitim lefnei oifes b'fin shabashira. They put out food for the birds on shabashira. Veino nochon shay enim zenas lebalecho. These birds are not your responsibility. Why are you putting out food for them?
Same thing with tashla.
Same thing with Tashla. So the idea is to put it, you know, by the case of the Shabbos year, you put the food there before Shabbos, that's not a problem. The problem is putting out on Shabbos.
I mean, it's mashmah from here that it is like it's mutter to have a domesticated dog?
Yeah.
Like there's no...
Domestic, what's domesticated?
Like a regular dog. Like it's not a problem having a dog. But there's no, like, you would think that he would write something like having a dog presents issues on Shabbos. You know, presents issues muksa-wise and...
Why dafka dog? A cat also?
Well, like
chickens and all that stuff, no?
No, I mean as a pet. Like I always figured like they didn't have a musig of a pet.
I mean, I'm not sure he's discussing yet pet or not pet. I mean...
If he was anti-pet, this would have been a good place to
play. Okay, I don't think he's anti-pet. Okay? My mother-in-law tells a story. He says, you know, that... They used to have meat once a year, halavai. What was meat once a year? It was they owned a cow. Every year the cow would have a calf. They would hold on to the calf till Pesach. Before Pesach they would check it. If it turned out to be kosher, they had meat for Pesach. If not, they didn't have meat. This is until the calf was born. Until Pesach, the calf lived in the house. I mean, it was freezing winter. It was a Polish winter. So the kids, that was their pet. I mean, you know, they had a pet calf, you know.
So that's very tough on the kids to.
Then, you know, when her father would take the calf to the sheikh, he'd take it at nighttime when the kids weren't there. You know, he took it, early
really
in the morning when the kids weren't around, you know. They play with the pet, they play with the calf, I mean, you know.
So I have a question. So I didn't know it was forbidden to own a pig. Right?
Okay.
Where does that come from?
It's a Gemara.
Why?
It's a, why? The Gemara says, because the Gemara actually ties it into a story. It's a Gemara by Bekam, and the Gemara says that when during the fight between the two brothers, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, the two brothers of the Chashmonai, so they, one of them besieged Yerushalayim, another was inside Yerushalayim. So they couldn't get out. So every day they would put down a container with money in it, and the ones outside would send up animals used for the Kurbanis, for the Tamidim, etc. Okay, so one day, one of the members of the outside group, I remember who was inside, who was outside. I think Aristobulus was outside, and Hyrcanus was inside. One of the Kenim over there, who had learned Chochmas Yevonis, said, "Calls them on, you keep, you know, giving them the korban for the korban Talmud, you're not going to win. They have Beis HaMikdash, and they have the schus of the Beis HaMikdash and the korbanos, you're not going to win." So that day, when they put the money down, they send up a chazir. So the Morse, on the way up, it was not Siporna B'Kaisel, it stuck its hooves into the wall. Beis HaShoah, all of Eretz Yisrael shook, and that was when the beginning of the Gzer of the Korban was Nechlat. And Chazal made two Tekonas, they said that it's also to learn Chochmas Yevonis, whatever that means, and it's also the Megadol Kalev Bebeisa. That was
Chazir.
Chazir, I'm sorry. Chazir Bebeisa. That's the story.
And is there something similar with the Kalavra, or is that just...
Kalavra, that's in Moran Baba Kam, and that's Nezikin. The Morse is, because it, you know, it's potential of Nezikin, it could damage. The Morse, even if it didn't damage, the Morse says a Maisa once that the fellow had a Kalavra, and the woman came by next door to a pregnant woman came by to borrow something, and the dog started barking at her, she, you know, flipped out.
And scared her.
And the owner came out. Don't worry, he says, I took away his teeth, you know, he can't bite, you know. She says, too late. She already had miscarried the child from the pasha.
Wow.
So.
The question is that...
From the what? Pasha?
Pasha. It's not necessarily a rabid dog. I mean, it just means a very bad-tempered dog.
Yeah. Well, they used to have the people used to live out, and you want to have a... Actually, there are cases where halacha is allowed to have it. If you live out... You live out in the...
For protection. You want a mean dog.
Right. You don't want a nice little dog. You want a... Okay. Okay. Yud Beis. Mutar l'hachol tilas hameshi. A person owns silkworms, you're allowed to feed your silkworms. Mishabur l'am Beis. L'hachol l'fishim azona sein alecho. You're mechiv to feed them. She'en lo'y ma'asher yechol ki ma'asher nesun lo'y ha'odam. Well, how is it going to eat? I mean, it's not like it's out in the wild. It eats mulberry leaves. You got to give it mulberry leaves. But they are also to move. One of the questions which came up, which I think... is discussed in the tour, was that sometimes it would get too cold, and the way they used to maintain them is they would put them under the person's armpit to keep them warm. So the question was, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, because it's probably tilted muksa, and the answer was that it was also.
Silkworm under your arm?
Yeah.
Silkworms.
Keep them warm.
So what's the difference between keeping them warm with your body versus feeding them? If it's sort of like the, you know, they're
the problem is you have to pick them up and put them there, so there's a muksa problem, moving them.
And the muksa, good counterbalance, star balei chayim. If it's cold, it's this because they're cold, I get it.
You know, I don't know whether you apply Tzarbel Chaim to worms. I don't know how you apply that.
But petting is... If you don't move the animal.
I mean, theoretically, it's a bit shayach, so I'm not sure that's shayach.
To not move it. If you're petting it, you're moving it. You're moving the hair, at least.
Yeah. Typical sugya. Okay. Yud Gimel. Ma'amid Adam Behemtal Gabi Asabim Mechuborim. So you're allowed to bring your animal to a field where it's going to be eating from grass which is attached to the ground. So that which the animal then eats, that's not considered that your act, that the animal's doing malacha, but he's doing kitzer, he's taking things out of the place where they grow. That's not usher to give the animal to do that. But the chiddush over here is l'chashin Hashem yitlus mehem. The worst is, you know, we're afraid that while he's there, he might pull some off the feet to the animal. Without being malacha d'oraisa, we don't make such a gezeira. But avoloya gabi muksa, you can't bring him to grain or something which is muksa, which is a kalva karma. If I'm not worried about a malacha d'oraisa, I shouldn't be worried about an issa d'rabbanan. The answer is exactly the opposite. And they threw a cow muksa. The people do not look at muksa with the same level of chumrah as malacha of kotzer. So we're afraid that the person might actually grab some of the grain and feed it to the animal.
That sounds like a gzera l'gzera.
Okay, good question. There are cases where Chazal didn't gzera l'gzera. Mm-hmm. If it's the reshchiyah, one place the Tosfos says the reshchiyah, they would be gzera, etc. Dafka l'amid al gab of mamash. It's only also to bring it right there next to the food. But if you could sort of like coax the animal in that direction, and each time it starts to veer off, yeah, you sort of block it, that it shouldn't veer away and should go to where the food is, that's permitted. So there's a loch of she says behemta, the animal can't do malacha on Shabbos. You can't have your animal doing malacha on Shabbos. So you have a problem here. You have a problem of shvisas behemta. In other words, there's a loch that Jewishly owned animal can't be doing malacha on Shabbos. Any of the lamed has malacha. We didn't speak about that. There's a whole siman in Reis Samavol which talks about the case of a person's traveling. It's Erev Shabbos, and the situation is that he doesn't make it back to where he has to before Shabbos. So, it's the animal's traveling, carrying on Shabbos. You have a problem with the malacha of the animal doing chutzah. Problem of shvisas behemtzah. So why over here isn't the problem of shvisas behemtzah? Your animal is doing kaitzer. So he says no. Yochel lo yanichenu teilus roiker. We can't allow it to rip out and remove things from where they're growing. See the manyanuach, veins are not preventing the animal from eating what its normal grass, what it eats, that's not considered an act of rest for an animal. So that's
Is the issue with malacha done by Jewish animals on Shabbos, is the issue that you're not supposed to do something that's directly going to cause it to? So clearly the carrying is only because you put the.
There's two separate issues. There's one of Isra Mechamra, which is me causing an animal to do malacha, which is even not my own animal. The second Isra of Shisa, there's a mitzvah of Shisa's behemta, your animal should be Shabbos and Shabbos. I mean, if I would give my animal to a goy, I can't have a goy do malacha with my animal on Shabbos either. That's what it talks about before in Resh Mem Hei deals with case where a goy rents your animal or something of that sort, so you have to do some type of act of being mafker it before Shabbos, that then it shouldn't be your animal doing malach on Shabbos.
Right, if somebody would steal your animal, I guess there's kinyan mitzvah.
Case where a person would steal it
or let your animal free, and your animal happens to be carrying something, you're chayv in those cases also.
I mean, it's not a malacha. It's not a chiyuv. It's a lav. But theoretically, if you have the wherewithal to stop it, which over there you do because you can come after it. So yeah, animal can't be doing malacha. Rachshidin lamadalit the surah chomer b'zarbe, the veir of detaching something from where it's growing, reaping. That's people are careful with that. Lama b'fenek kimishen karvlo kolkach lekol lemechish. So that itself, that you're not directly nearby the animal, leading it to the food, you're just sort of directing it to there, that itself takes away the chashash that you might take from the muksa and give it to the animal. Yudal. Noitlin Michael melechnei chamor, b'noshin lechnei yishor. So this is the issue of tircha. So Chazal said, so if the chamor ate some food and I need to take some and give it over to the shore, that's okay. You can't switch and take the food from the shore and give it to the chamor. Why? The shore salivates all over it, and the chamorim don't like that. The chamor is not going to eat it, so therefore it's a tircha, because the chamor ain't going to eat it. At some extent, that Allah, and that's already a Mishnah. So, some extent that halacha, so Mishnah does not, the Mishnah only mentions shor and chamor, doesn't mention anything else. Some extent, this halacha to other animals.
But dafka shor sounds like the Ramah is sounding like any, you know, from what any species to any other species is not permitted. But the Mishnah seems to be talking about the issue. The principle is the issue of nimas. So once it's nimas, so now
right. So we'll see. The Mishnah says that we don't know how one animal responds to another animal that might have that same problem.
We know for sure, though, from the Mishnah, we know a chamor to a shore is okay.
Right. There was they're learning that the Mishnah said chamor to shore okay. That was like became the. It's stressing because that becomes like that was the exception to the rule. Lamanvav, listen with nay shor, shen ashor cuts by Michael Hanisher min a chamor, shen mouth the rear, the chamor doesn't put rear, and therefore the shor doesn't mind eating it. But other way around, if the chamor has nothing else to eat, he'll eat it. It's better than starving. But therefore, the chances are he might not eat it unless he's really forced to. Therefore, mitzvah mechidim, it's a waste of time. But dafa the chamor she'en amina who kotz b'machol ibn harir, taking it from a shore to chamor is a problem. Abal lifnei shor acher, taking it from one shore to another shore, shumino in a kotz b'nei harir umutu l'kliyam. They don't seem to be bothered by the shore. One shore does not seem to be bothered by the other shore's rear.
What exactly is the iser of taking it from a shore and giving it to a chamor?
Tircha. It's a waste of tircha.
The effort just to put it
there. Right. The same we had before, like, you know, putting the food out in a way which, you know, once you've gotten your job of putting the food out, making it more tempting to the animal, etc., is also because extra tircha. Because all, you know, the amount of it. So, you know, any tircha you have with this animal food, which is not really necessary, not really going to be effective or necessary, you don't do. It's in the Tehacheres, Lamas Ches, the Shema Yim Sabir Ba Eichel, the Yakut Spoy, the Yatecha Bechinum. Maybe the animal A will not like the remains of animal B, whatever the two types are. Kazar Kroidim, the Daily, because we had a Nagam Hetra, the Yeshla Mama, these Milismer, not everybody agrees to this, there's people who agree with that. Unless you know that this animal A responds negatively to animal B's food, so then you shouldn't be putting it there. Okay.
How about from a child to a dog?
You know, I don't think that we find that a dog is nimas from the
or vice versa.
That's also true. That's also true. But I don't think you should be doing that anyway. Okay. So Tesvov. Also, Ligroif Ha'avis Lifnei Shor Shalpatam. You want to clean out the trough by a shor. Which shor patam is the act of fattening. You're fattening up the shor. So you want to have the food to be good food because you want to have a nice the nice fat shore to be able to get a good price for your, you know, the meat, etc., whatever it is. So you can't do that. Now, what's the concern? The concern is, like, well, we're afraid that if you get, as you're doing that, you might notice that there's the floor of the avos, the trough, is it got some holes in it. He'll flatten out the holes, he'll fill up the holes, etc., which is the act of boina. He's correcting the cracks and crevices of the avos. Now the ikar chashash of boina is when it's in the ground. But I feel avos shel kli is problematic. Gzera otu shel karka. An avos of karka is mamish, that's boina. Eber Shalkli doesn't have that gezer, but Chazal asked the Eber Shalkli because of the possibility of Eber Shalkarka. Also Lashwey Gumois, because over there you're going to end up, we're afraid the person will end up filling up the he'll notice holes, etc., and fill them up, and that's a Malach D'Rais. We also Gam can lead to the Salaka Tevin, in the front of the sun, you can't take the shrub which is there and move it over to the sides. And that you can't do either. The Mishnah Berurah says that's a problem of that it becomes muksa. See Mishnah Berurah Lamates Ligra for Avis. Shagarvan Oisai Shleis Arva Furius. The reason why they would do it, they would pull out the whatever's there. They don't want the dirt and the dust. Shiva Avis Betevin Ubasarim Shnasan Lefano B'Yakutz B'Machala. You want to sort of clean out the Avis. Beforehand of any dirt which is there, so when you put in the food, the animal's not going to find the food unappealing, right? Because this dirt will get mixed in, and your goal over here is to make sure that you gets fed as much as possible. So you can't do that. It's very common. Once you notice the thing, you'll try and straight flatten it out in a way which is, it's a kavanah. K'neshal yipah sarim agumas, because you don't want the barley corns to fall into the cracks. So you want to fill up the holes. So that's a malachah d'oraisa. K'neshal grifa afilu be'evah shebekli. We regozer that a person can't do even an avis which is a kli, because he might do a brikar. A person has a box and there's some psoilus, whatever was in the bottom of the box. You want to sweep that out before you put something there and store it, etc. That there's no gzeir over there that you might. Over here, there's a specific need that a person would want to fill up the holes because the food he's going to put in there is going to get stuck in the holes. But if a person puts, I want to put something inside my bread box, and there's some junk on the bottom, so I don't put the bread down on the junk. That doesn't go into this gzeir.
So it's a problem now with this. This last Mishnah Berurah, how Noach was permitted to clean the table on Shabbos. I'm kidding.
Did Noach keep the Torah? He knew he learned the Torah. Only he kept the Torah. Also, I don't know when was there Shabbos during the Marvel?
Yeah.
There was no sunrise and no sunset, so was there Shabbos?
It's always Shabbos. I mean, if you're the North Pole in the winter time, you've got to still keep Shabbos.
There is a big schmooze about that. Is Shabbos defined by sunrise and sunset, or by the time when it should be theoretically Shabbos?
Mm.
There are definitely shittas which hold us by my sunrise and sunset, which theoretically would come out the strange argument that by the North Pole, it's once every 7 years of Shabbos, and it's Shabbos for a year long. Because right, the sun sets in the beginning of the winter and sun rises in the beginning of the summer. Menachem Kasher in his Torah Shlema, and one of the Miluim in the back, has a long arichas about the Shabbat, different Akharim talking about the Shabbat. I think it's a Parsha Mishpatim. He deals with Zman. Not Parsha's bow, he deals with the concept of Zman. I think it's over there. It deals with the North Pole or something like that. Salaka Tevin, because Shurab writes to the Salaka, when there's too much straw there, he wants to move it aside. Kadeshalo Yidreno Hashar Berei. We're afraid that there's too much straw. So you want to save onto you want to save the straw, make sure he eats it. Meanwhile, while it's there, he's going to step on it and get it dirty with his whatever he lets out of his body. That's why he wanted to do it. Now, why is it us, sir? Mishum devada yeshbrei min mashanimus kavar b'mitzvus raglo b'lechazel l'tiltu. So a certain amount already became point where it's not roid for usage anymore. So that's muksa. So when you're moving it, you're moving the muksa, and that's us.
Is that the part that's dirty?
Or the part which became dirty already. Right, so there's always X amount which the animal's stepping on. The animal stepped on who knows what, and then stepped on it, so it becomes the animal's not going to eat anymore. So you got it. It's a problem with muksa. Okay. The end of Shin Chav Dalet. Now we're going back to a different sugya.
Okay. Quick question. I hope it's quick. So this concern that he's going to fill fix the feeding trough. Why? How did this gezera is sort of a unique one, because there's so many other times where we use a kli or something like that, and we don't come with this kind of concern.
The Iker concern was a trough which is made out of the ground. And the Chazal said that, you know, if you have any depressions and you fill them in, and a person will find later on talks about sweeping on Shabbos, the same problem, sleeping on the third floor on Shabbos, you're going to fill up the holes. You don't want little cracks and crevices in your floor where things get caught, etc.
So this kind of runs in the same concept.
It's the same concept.
Okay.
So over here specifically he says, I'm going to pour in all this barley into this thing. I don't want to get caught in these little crevices that it's a waste of barley. So I'd rather just flatten the whole thing out first and then.
Okay.
So. Okay. Any Yudishos Malach about Yisrael, Boy Tezayin Sifim. So it's important to understand when you deal with the halachas of Amir La'akum, there are two concurrent problems with Amir La'akum. There actually are three concurrent problems with Amir La'akum. There's one issue of talking about malacha on Shabbos. There's an issue of Dabar Dover. I can't discuss malacha on Shabbos. So I can't tell you, I can't tell you that tomorrow I am driving a car. I'm present on Shabbos. I can't say tomorrow, most of Shabbos, I'm driving to Baltimore. I can't discuss malacha on Shabbos. So I can't tell the guy to do malacha for me on Shabbos. It's a problem with discussing malacha on Shabbos. I can't tell the guy on Shabbos to do malacha for me on Tuesday. Right? There's another issue, which is you can't have a guy do malacha for you on Shabbos, which Rashi seems to understand as like a din. Even though in shlichus la'akum, in Rabbanon, they gave it like shlichus. The guy's working for you. It's like your shliach doing malach on Shabbos. So I can't tell the guy on Tuesday doing malach for me on Shabbos. He can't do malach for me on Shabbos. Then there's a third issue is the Chazal don't want you benefiting from the malach the guy did for you on Shabbos. That's a separate issue. So this over here is going to deal with, this is the malachas of Isser, of the Hanoah, of the benefit from the malach. He discussed the malachas of Amir la'akum, Isser of Amira, that was discussed before, both in the halachas of Dabar Dover, what you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos, and also in the halachas of the Isser, specifically of Amira La'akim, of telling the God of the Malacha. That's a discussion before. Now there's a separate Isser, which is Hanoah. So, you can't have, if the God did Malacha, when is it permitted to benefit from it, when is it not permitted to benefit from it, etc. Now, this has ramifications. Like, you hint to a goy. The concept of remez, mashal, remez accomplishes that it's not a mirror. I didn't tell him to do it. He did it on his own. So it's not me talking. I'm not talking about doing malacha, and he's not doing malacha for me. I didn't tell him to do it. But in the sense of he's not my shliach. But at the end of the day, he's doing malacha for me, and I can't benefit from his malacha necessarily. So, not all cases of remez will work, because I still can't take benefit from what he did. So, if God turns on a light for me on Shabbos, I can't use that light to do anything which I could not have done without the light. So, there was a little bit of room in the light in the room anyway. So, I can't read. If I wasn't able to read, I can't read now. So, I hinted to him. It's not like he did a malacha for me. I can't benefit from it. If I tell a goy, we'll see that I can't sleep, he turns off the light. So that halacha says that's called like an indirect benefit. He just took away something which was a problem. He didn't give me something, he just took away a problem. Then I'm allowed to benefit from that. So I can go to sleep in the room. Right, so in that case, remez would be sufficient. It's just as long, I can't tell him to turn off the light on Shabbos, but I can hint him, and if he figures it out, turns it off, I can sleep in the room. But I can't tell him, it's hard to read in here, he turns on the light, I can't read there. So that's why, I don't know why Shin Chav Hei ended up over here as opposed to like right after those halachas, because you know, people get confused, but there is a whole siman over here of benefiting from it. And of course, each, you know, like all siman, it doesn't limit itself exactly to that halacha, you know, it talks about other things also. Aleph, Mutter Lit Lezamin Ein Yehudi B'Shabbos, you can invite a goy on Shabbos. The reason why we're stressing that is because halacha is inviting a goy on Yom Tov is problematic.
Because you may cook for him.
Because halacha, so this is the right to cook for a goy on Shabbos. On Yom Tov. This is the right to cook for a goy on Shabbos also. Even if you cook on Yom Tov, you can't cook for a goy. So this is the right to cook for a goy. Chazal made it, this is the Rabbanon, that you can't invite a goy for a meal on Yom Tov, because there you might come to cook for him.
Unless it's also Shabbos.
If it's also Shabbos, then it's not a problem, because you're not going to cook anyway. But so, and that has ramifications in halacha, which are tremendously difficult. Because if you deal with a mechal Shabbos like a goy, which we do in halacha, so you have a problem of inviting a mechal Shabbos for Yom Tov, because you can't do halacha for him on Yom Tov. So,
Jew
mechal Shabbos? So, he has a halacha, the rabbi that has a halacha like a goy, then you can't do halacha for him. So what do you do with all these non-from relatives? And what do you do, you know, so...
Kiruv and all that.
What?
So is there a rabbanon for Jews with Mechal Shabbos?
No. It could be since it's the rice of the Melech of Him. Definitely should hold it to the rice on Yom Tov.
Are there sheets that say that today when...
So the argument of Tinnik Shanishma is always the argument, you know, the application of Tinnik Shanishma is not Pashut. It's Mechalik as Rambam and Ramban. Mm-hmm. And it's a Mechalik which has not been decided. Mm-hmm. There are certain Eitzes, you know, there's two problems. There's one doing malacha for him, and one the gzeri can't invite him because he might do malacha for him. There's two separate problems. On Yom Tov. So on the gzeri drabbanon, you can't invite him because you might do malacha for him. There's a prima godin which says that if you're going to have tremendous tsar on your Yom Tov for not inviting him, because I'll not make the gzeri in that case.
Whom is he talking about?
The inviting a. He applies to the goy also. There was that iser exer. You can't invite a goy because you might do malacha for him. The exer is rabbanon. Avot will take care of that. You still can't do malacha for him.
Yeah.
So you can invite your non. According to that, if I might be very uncomfortable not inviting my non from relative to my seder, you know. So I have a head to invite them, but I can't do any malacha for them. They ask me for a cup of coffee. I can't make them a cup of coffee. I can go to the kitchen, make myself a cup of coffee, and put up enough water for myself, and then the male is leftover water for them. That's mutter. I can't go and make a cup of coffee, make them a cup of coffee. That could be an issue of the rice. And the hotels in Eretz Yisrael are Pesach hotels, you know. So you have non-from people come to the Pesach hotels also. It's a major sugya in halacha, how to deal with it. Anyway, so it says over here, but Shabbos is not a problem because you're not cooking anything on Shabbos. So what does Hamanini Hurubi Shabbos? You're not invited to go for a meal on Shabbos, and that's not a problem.
What about if you're already cooking something? Like, I'm already making chicken. I have Mechal Shabbos coming. I'm not making
extra. On Yom Tov.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily making extra chicken for that.
Good, again, once you get past the issue to invite, right. You'll say, I have the head to the prima godin to invite. So the only issue is, I can't actually cook. So the heter is ribi b'shurim. The heter is, there's a lach of a yom tov called ribi b'shurim. Once I'm making something, I don't have to limit myself how much I'm making. Uh-huh. But it has to be, it's in one maisa. So that, you know, putting a border, I fill up the water, I put it on, it's one maisa. I can't add more water afterwards. Okay, chicken, if I sit there, I bread each piece of chicken separately, and I put them on the pan, I got a problem. I can't put four more on to feed my other guests. If it's already cooked, I'm just warming it up, there's not a problem.
Right.
The problem is if you're actually cooking on Yom Tov. We don't do too much cooking on Yom Tov. Most of what we do is really, nowadays, it's really rewarming and reheating it. So it's not so bad.
What about Shabbos?
I think you guys want to catch Marv right there, 45 Marv? What time is it now?
Yeah. We don't do too much cooking.